You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
All right, so I don't want to stress anyone out, but how's your Thanksgiving prep going? Not my responsibility. There you go. Thanksgiving prep, how's it going? Good. Okay. All right. Now, I heard some people say it's not their responsibility. They're not that stressed. Yeah, it's not too stressful if you just show up, right? If you're the one showing up, you're like, hey, prep's going great, actually, right now. Because I lined up who's cooking, and it's not me, and they're doing everything. You feel pretty good right now. You feel prepared. Basically, your job is you show up hungry, and you get to work, right? But if you're hosting, I'm willing to bet you got your to-do list going. You got your ideas of what you're preparing and what you got to do when. And there's a lot to prepare if you're going to host, right? Thanksgiving dinner is a pretty big deal. So I Googled it this week because I've never personally hosted Thanksgiving dinner. How best to prepare for Thanksgiving Day? And 44 million suggestions came up, to which I just read the top couple of suggestions for that. And within that, they gave me a top 10 list of how to prepare for Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving meals. So let me go through these and we'll kind of see how you're doing, see if I can stress you out a little bit. Check your cookware and kitchen tools. That was one of them. You don't want to malfunction on the day of. I would not have thought of that. This one I don't really understand. It says, get ready to start thawing your turkey. I don't know why you need to get ready to start thawing your turkey, but get ready, okay? I'm just telling you right now, get ready. This one is good. Make sure you know how to cook a turkey. You don't want to wake up Thursday morning and be like, okay, so how do we do this? Preheat the oven to what? This is a good one. Make and freeze the gravy. Apparently you can do that now. Do it beforehand. Don't stress yourself out the day of. Get that done. Make the cranberry sauce. I wouldn't have thought of that because I don't really like the cranberry sauce. I know. Controversial. I'm sorry. Make and freeze dinner rolls. Yeah, okay. Apparently that's important. Make the pie crust / consider making the entire pie. Okay, someone left. I don't know. I don't know. This is just the list at the top of 44 million that was a suggestion. I think it's probably helpful to some extent. I mean, that list, though, doesn't even include anything to do to get your house ready. You know, all the things you have to shove in the closets or under the bed to make sure everything's fine. The chairs you have to find from somewhere to bring in to put around the table. There's all this preparation, right? There's a lot to do to get ready for arguably the highest pressure meal of the year. This morning, we're going to all work together on preparing for Thanksgiving. But it's not going to be the list of food, and it's not going to be what you need to do for your house. Today, we're going to be looking to prepare for Thanksgiving by preparing our heart for Thanksgiving. We're going to be looking this morning at what it means to prepare our heart and do some prep work right here within ourselves as we look forward to Thanksgiving. How eager are our hearts to give thanks? How eager are our hearts to jump into a full day that is all about gratitude? Now, of course, I'll say it, we hope to cultivate gratitude all year long. Thanksgiving should be a posture of our heart that we live in each and every day, but certainly Thanksgiving is a time for an extra helping or an extra serving of this gratitude, and one time to be intentional to really examine your heart and where it sits with gratitude as a whole. Today, we're going to be doing some work in our hearts with this idea of Thanksgiving. And for some of us, the prep work is going to be harder for others. For some of us, the to-do list or the prep and the work that it's going to take to get there is going to take longer than others. Some of us feel like we could just show up and we're ready to give thanks. It's been that kind of a year or that kind of a month that we feel ready and eager to, and we've cultivated it and we're ready. But for others of us, it's going to take a lot of work to get to a place that we can feel thankful. Maybe it's the stress that you carry or the burdens that you feel or the letdowns of your life that you could look at one after another, after another, after another. Some will show up to the table grieving this year, loss this year. Some will feel anxiety in ways that feels overwhelming, and for them, the prep is much more difficult. And how do you start to process this thing that we know that we're supposed to be grateful with what we feel and what we see all around us? And it's hard to be thankful in the midst of all of this. And it can be like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be thankful. Maybe even we have our cliche one or two, three things that we can say. Yeah, we're thankful for that, but really our heart, where's our heart at with gratitude? I don't know exactly what you carry into this year and what makes gratitude easier or harder for you as you approach Thursday, but I do know the importance of Thanksgiving, and I do know the importance of the posture of our heart, embracing that and seeing that and feeling that and vocalizing that and sometimes pushing ourselves into that place to see it. Today, we're going to see the benefits of Thanksgiving. We're going to be looking at the song of Mary in Luke 1, and we're going to see her Thanksgiving pour out. And as we read line by line of her song of praise, we're going to see an example of who we should be regardless of what we carry into this week and what it looks like to exude this gratefulness even in the most uncertain of times. So turn in your Bibles with it. Has met with an angel, Gabriel, who has told her she's going to conceive a baby. This baby is to be named Jesus. And there's a lot that was said about this baby Jesus before Jesus is even born. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. And after hearing the word of this incredible miracle that Mary gets from God and seeing the impossible work of even God bringing about a baby in Elizabeth's life, Mary responds with a song. Now, interestingly enough, this song, it really mirrors a lot of psalms of praise that you could read in the book of Psalms, but it also mirrors Hannah's song that you could read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, which I encourage you this week. It would be a fun, we just don't have time for it this morning. Check it out this week. Go read Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel 2. But she writes her own song of thanksgiving. She follows suit in line after Hannah in the psalms of praise and thanksgiving that she would have read. And now she puts pen to paper and has her own moment of writing her own song of thanksgiving. Let's read it together, starting in verse 46. It says this, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever.'" Mary starts her song with the words, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Strong start to to a psalm of thanksgiving. For her to say, my soul magnifies, what does that mean, soul? You can toss that word around a little bit, and we might have some different ideas. To say soul is to refer to the very essence of someone's life. It's their thinking. It's their willing. It's their feeling. It's their inner self. It's their mind, and it's their feelings. It's their heart. It's their very being. It's the core of where they are and who they are. It's the core of who Mary is. So the very core of her mind and her heart and her desires and where she's going, the very core of Mary, and what she thinks about and what she feels and what she wills, her very being, it says, magnifies the Lord. To magnify is to praise someone for their greatness. It's to enlarge and look closely at the great deeds of God here. It's to focus in detailed focus on the greatness of God. Listen, this is not an Amazon review. Thumbs up. Right? You get that email. It's like, how is the delivery with a picture of the box on your... Good. It's not a quick four-star review or whatever. This is the core and the very essence of who Mary is. And when she gets to express the innermost desires and thoughts and feelings, out comes the greatness of God and expressing the greatness of God. It's praise and thanks to God that touches on every corner of Mary's life. Mary is able to consider everything about her life, everything about her situation, how it makes her feel, how it may or may not play out tomorrow, and what comes forth is how great God is. Now that's something I want to dig into for a second. Because at first glance, it might seem obvious why Mary has every reason to magnify God and to praise him from within her soul. I mean, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus, all these incredible things, right? She hears from Gabriel and the hope of ages that they've passed on generation to generation, waiting and longing for this Jesus, for this Messiah to come. She's part of, certainly there's a lot for her to praise, right? But it's not without all sorts of uncertainty and all sorts of change and all sorts of questions like this. What are people going to say, and how will people respond to her when they see her not married but pregnant? What will that do socially to her? In that time, she's very vulnerable in that situation. To be labeled or an outcast of society because of being pregnant before marriage, she's in a vulnerable position. Of course, there's the questions about Joseph as well, right? Would he believe her? Would he be on board with this? What is he going to say? What are his thoughts? Will he stick around? And the fears that she may have. What if he doesn't believe me or assume that she's been unfaithful? What if he left her? All these fears, all these questions, all these wonderings that she could have about the future. What about just potential practical fears of unknowns? That young of an age getting ready to be a mom and the newness of that and all the change that is happening very quickly in her life, all of those things. What I'm trying to say is this. She had reasons to be stressed. She had reasons that she could fear. There was all sorts of unknowns. There was all sorts of change in the midst of it. So to simplify and just say, well, of course she could praise, is missing the whole backside of it that would say, actually, there's a lot in this. The angel says to her, hey, do not fear. There would have been reasons for her too. And in the midst of caring all of that, about the fullness of that situation, and mixing all the unknowns into a bowl of everything that the angel had said that she believed about who this baby is and what the baby was going to do, with all of that, the deepest part of Mary expresses magnifies praise to God. She's thankful. I know we could go around this room and we could hear testimonies. And if we did that, we would have our stories that we could tell about the incredible good things that happened in our life, but maybe also mixed with incredibly difficult or uncertain things, or the fears that we could have about tomorrow, or the unknowns, or the stress, and all these things that can overwhelm us. Big change of directions, all these things, struggles, suffering, vulnerabilities, uncertainties. The reflex of our soul facing such hardships should be, as we see Mary do, is to magnify and praise God. That's difficult. I understand that as I say that, that's difficult. And I just want to say for myself, oftentimes what I feel like I do is what I magnify is I magnify the problem. If I'm feeling stress or anxiety and I'm feeling the weight of some of that stuff, a lot of times what I first go to is Mary carries that and out comes thanksgiving. Look at verse 47. She says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." That word rejoicing is so fun. We need to define it. We need to get into it for a second because I really like it a lot. The word define here is to experience a state of great joy and gladness, often involving verbal expression and appropriate body movement. That's the part I like about it. It's interesting, right? We sang in the song today, right, Tommy? We dance in your freedom. And I was like, yeah, but do we dance? Do we move? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say anything controversial about dancing. I'm just saying this is a full body expression when you're rejoicing. It's your voice. You can't help but talk about it. You can't help but sing about it. When you're excited, think about it when you're excited and it starts to take your body. Yesterday we were at Wrigley Field and we did this like winter wonderland experience. I could feel the excitement in my body to go down on the field. I'm like walking faster. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, let's walk out onto the field. Like, let's go. Like, I'm so excited. My body is responding and going along with it. This gratitude, when we understand and we magnify the rejoicing, it's with our lips, it's with our whole being, it's the core, it's the soul of all of who we are, is able to say it. And it's not to say that everything is great and perfect and fine. It's that the soul is able to look at what's hard and difficult and still express fully and deeply with all of who we are praises and thanks to God. It cannot be contained. And that's hard to get there. Man, I just for myself, as I'm looking at it, I want that. I look at that and I'm like, man, I struggle so personally, struggle with looking at what still is difficult before I can truly all of me praise and get into that. I struggle with that at points. Oftentimes my heart does not want to shout thanksgiving. I don't want the full soul expression. My heart doesn't shout or sing. Oftentimes it harps on stress and anxiety. But I miss something when that's where my heart is at. We miss something when our heart does not go to thanksgiving, when that's not the reflex that we go to. And we can learn something from Mary this morning as we look at it. As her song goes on, and we see her singing amidst the unknowns, it's deeper than just a guilt trip. Like, hey, y'all, you should be thankful. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not helpful. It's like, yeah, thanks, man. I'll work on that. That's not what it is. When you look at what pours out, we see why she's able to praise, why this is pouring out of her soul. How can this permeate out amidst so many uncertainties in what's happening in her life? And so as we do this, this is part of our Thanksgiving prep. Let's look at she does three things here in her song that I think are really helpful for us to look at. And as she does that, I hope it encourages us. Mary gives thanks to God because he's done great things in three different ways. Number one, great things he has done in her life. Secondly, great things within God's character. And thirdly, great things God brings about through his promise. First, let's look at the praise that Mary gives for the great things that he has done in her life. You look at verse 48, it says, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." You see the word "for" there, and it's repeated a lot through the rest of the song. These are all of her reasons that she's able to say, yeah, I exalt, I magnify, and I rejoice. I'm able to praise for. These are the reasons why as you look through it. And all of this starts with her saying, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." She's talking about herself. She brings up her humble estate. This is likely referring to her low social position within society. She compares who she is with what she's just received. This incredible honor to carry the Son of God, the future king. She says, all generations will call her blessed. Now, to look at this and to start to heap any sort of praise on Mary is to miss the point of what Mary is saying. Who is Mary's praise going towards? Right. It's going to God here. So she's bringing this up not to say, yeah, they're calling me blessed, I'm a big deal. She brings this up to point praise to God. She can see clearly that God took someone of low societal status, someone who did not belong in important conversations, someone who would have been overlooked for any sort of honor, especially in religious circles. And for now, for generations to come, they're saying, hey, this person is a blessed individual. What happened? How do you go from this position of no one really paying any attention to your importance to all of a sudden, for generations and generations, people are going to call you blessed? God showed up and God did something. And she praises God. She says, you've done great things that you could take someone of this status and you could do anything in their life to bless them and give them great things. I follow this account on Instagram of this artist that goes around and he just finds like the most strange, dumpiest places to paint a picture. He was like in like a sewer drain area. One that I saw this weekend, and he paints this huge picture, this huge mural, and it's beautiful, and it's like, wow, how did this go from something so average, so ordinary, so overlooked, to something where anyone who walked by would pay attention to that? Mary is bringing that out and saying, humble estate, so easy to overlook, so, air quotes, not important, but look what you've done, God. This is a work of God that you could do something like that in my life. God has done something in her life. Mary's not praising God because she's receiving blessing. Hear me on that. She's praising God that he's capable of doing such a work in her life and anyone else's life. She sees the miracle in taking something of humble nature and turning it into something more. So my question for you, what has God done in your life that you could look at and you could just, man, what God did? He took something so ordinary, something so easy to overlook, something so average or humble, and look at what he has done in it. And sometimes we need to go back and we need to remind ourselves what he's done in our life and remind us of ways that we've seen him work in our life. Maybe that's right now that you could look at and be like, wow, look at what he's doing. Or maybe you need to go back 5 years, 10 years. Maybe that's the prep it's going to take to cultivate gratitude in your life. Here's where I started to go with this, okay? Think about Psalm 8, where the psalmist says, what is man that you're even mindful of him, right? Then I think about Romans 8, teaching about how God is at work for the good of those who've put his faith in him. And I'm thinking about this, I'm like, God deals so personally with me in my life. I mean, why would he pay any attention to anything so normal, like so non-him, like not on his level. I don't deserve any of this, but God is at work in my life right now. He's at work in your life right now. God is here. He's done something that I could not do. Magnify him from the depths of your soul because he's present in your life and he doesn't need to pay any attention to you, but in his love, he does. Maybe that's a place for you to start prepping for Thanksgiving in your heart, to meditate on the reality that God is present in working in lowly you and lowly me, and that he would even associate any blessing on us, all praise and thanks to him for that. Look at the second one here. Verses 49 through 53, we see Mary give thanks to God for the great things God has done within his character. She starts highlighting who God is. In these verses, Mary highlights the character of God, that he's mighty, and that he's holy, and that he's merciful, and that he's strong. Her praise comes from a place of acknowledging his greatness. You'll see in verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She's looking like acknowledging all these things about who God is, who she's not. God's character. God's character. If you need to align yourself and do some prep work in your heart, one thing that can be helpful and important we see Mary do is start talking about who God is. Because we can't talk about who God is without seeing his greatness and his otherness and who we are not. And she's able to look back in the history of Israel to do it. His holiness was on display for a sinful and rebellious Israel in the time of the judges. His strength doing great things for an enslaved Israel when they're in Egypt. His mercy at work to bring Israel out of exile and back home. God's character, his eternal attributes have done great things for Mary. She says it in the verse 49. Mary sees his holiness and strength at work in her life and sees those attributes as having walked with Israel through their history. The more we look here today, church, at the attributes and the character and who we see God is to be and who he's always been, the more reasons that we have for thanksgiving and praise to him, because he doesn't change. And we can see his character on display and his attributes on display for our good and incredible good for the world, past and present and future. Man, I mean, there's so much we could say about each one of those attributes. One thing I've been encouraged by the last couple of weeks has been some phone calls or personal interactions with people here facing hardship or suffering. And what I'm hearing them say is who God is in the midst of it. That doesn't change. And what I'm hearing them say is, God was this here in my life. And I know he still is today, and I know he still will be tomorrow. And I'm like, I just got to tell you, I'm like, just this week on the phone with one person, I'm like, preach that to my heart. Because as they're saying it, I know what they're going through, and I know what they're wrestling with, and here they are saying, yeah, but God is this. God is this. If your heart is struggling to be thankful, praise him for his attributes, for his character, his holiness. Man, there's no end to the depth of these things, right? You know, you could take any one of these things, mercy, and just start digging into it, right? This idea of God just relenting to that, no end to the depth to that. Sometimes it might not look like God is mighty now. That's important to remind ourselves and to go back as Mary does. Finally, we see, what else does Mary do here? Verse 54 and 55, she highlights his promises. And that's reason for her to give thanks because of his promises. Verse 54 says, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever, he has helped Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, Abraham, and his offspring forever. Well, what has God spoken to Mary's fathers? What has he spoken to the generations? What did he speak to Abraham? Well, he spoke to Abraham a promise, a covenant with his people, a promise that all nations would be blessed through the seed and through the line of Abraham, a relationship with them that he would always be with them. And now Mary is experiencing and understanding the fulfillment and seeing as Gabriel comes to her and talks to her about this baby that's in her, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And she's seeing the promise that was told is being fulfilled and being brought through here. And it's a reason to praise God because of his faithfulness, because of his power, because of his work in their life. Her heart is overflowing. Her lips cannot contain the thanksgiving she has because God has had mercy just like he said he would. God is bringing salvation just as he said he would. God will bless the nations through Israel just like he said he would. Jesus is coming just like he said he would. The long-awaited Messiah promised to Abraham, talked about generation after generation by prophet after prophet, is here from the deepest parts of her soul. Magnify, rejoice, and praise. Come in here today to see the greatness of what God has done in fulfilling and keeping a promise generation after generation to his offspring here. Final word in the passage, forever. We are part of forever here to be praising God for this gift of Jesus. The truth of our position with God was hopelessness and helplessness. We couldn't do anything for ourselves in the midst of that. And here God had mercy to relent there as he sees us in our condition of sin and in the separation of our relationship with God. He sees us in that. And he has mercy and a compassion that is stirring, but it's not just compassion that leaves us there and goes, oh, I wish that would work out better for them. But that's what they did. In his mercy, there's love and there's grace, there's unmerited favor that we receive, and that grace is Jesus. As Jesus comes to earth, lives a sinless life, is put to death for not any wrong that he did, but for the wrong that we've done in our sin, taking our punishment on himself, so that as he raises to life from the grave and doesn't stay dead, so that those who put their faith in Jesus can be reconciled in a relationship to him and have their relationship restored and live a life part of his kingdom, part of his family, part of his church every day for the rest of their life with the presence of his spirit with them to lead and guide them. Praise and thanks to God, church, that's what you've received. This is a promise of old that God has kept true to and he will remain true to forever. It's something to be thankful for, and that's where she closes with an emphatic forever. There's not a day that goes by that our God doesn't deserve our soul's deepest thanks and praise to him forever. Mary's offered us a great way to start prepping for that. I'm not going to stand up here and just say, just be more thankful. I'm going to say, hey, church, remind yourself of who God is in your life and how he's dealt with you personally in your life, and let that stir in you to give thanks to him. Remind yourself of his attributes and who he is forever, and let that stir up praise and thanks to him. Think about the promise that you've received and the salvation that you own and you live in, and let that cultivate praise to him. It's a good deal of prep that we might have to do before Thursday. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do some actual Thanksgiving meal prep right now together as a group. And here's how we're going to do it. You were given slips of paper, hopefully as you came in. If you didn't get it, it says, My Song of Thanks. I'm going to invite Tommy and Rebecca up, and they're going to sing a song of gratitude. We're not singing along with them. That's background stirring our hearts towards worship and thanks to God. But what I want you to do is I want you to think through how Mary wrote her song. She modeled it, right, after an example. She had her examples. We have ours. I want to give us 4 or 5 minutes now to start our songs of Thanksgiving, to start doing our meal prep. And I say it's meal prep for this reason. I'm going to encourage you to do this. This Thursday, as you gather and you have a meal, as you share a meal, I encourage you to pull this song out and read it before you begin your meal. Read your song of thanks with your family, with your friends, whoever you might be sharing it with. And read your song of thanks together. Our gratitude to pour out with all of who we are. God, we thank you for all of the ways that you are worthy of our thanksgiving and our praise. God, no matter what we carry in today, I ask that you would help us in our hearts to be all about that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.